Hello and welcome to Box Cutters episode 208. Your call will be taken by the next available operator. My name is Josh Canal. To my left, John Richards.
Hello, listener.
To his right, work that out, Nellie Thomas.
Hello, everybody.
And to my right, Brett Cropley.
Good evening, viewers.
Now, do you think people are drawing a map?
Well, they are. Can we also then give more information? Brett is directly opposite Nellie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Directly opposite Nellie.
Josh is not sitting next to John. Only one person has a red shirt. That person is not Nellie.
Well, it's kind of like the Southern Cross, but not racist.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Not tattooed
on my
buttock.
That's so weird. And Fonzarelli Winkler's Alpha Centauri, I believe. The brighter of the pointer stars.
No one knows what you're talking about.
No, that's brilliant. You learn stuff on this show. That's great. I'm going home informed and
I
alarmed.
I can't hear pointer without thinking pointer sisters and then thinking boobs.
I understood the Alpha Centauri thing. I didn't understand the bit before that, but let's just ignore it. Nellie Thomas.
Yes.
You're our newest box cutter.
I know. Isn't that exciting?
Welcome.
I'm cutting box.
Now you're here for the beginning of the show, mainly to prove to the world that you and John Richards are not the same person.
Well, although we share some similar interests.
It's quite alarming.
Really?
Other than sci-fi.
Yeah.
Well, no. In many ways, we're opposite, except the ways we're the same.
Oh.
See, I think that's gonna work out well.
I'm almost as hairy.
I also wanted to prove there's not some power struggle going on, just in case anyone was wondering. There was a comment on the blog. I was pointing out that you are too young and your hair is too floppy to play the Doctor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think was it Mordwa or Boulder?
I think it was Mordwa.
I think they'll be lucky that I'm a Luddite and I can't actually read that stuff, so I don't know.
So you can say anything you want about Nellie.
Are people saying nasty things or nasty?
Oh, they're stabbing you in the back, even as we speak. Don't
it seemed he thought he was on a Doctor Who forum and was talking about the new Doctor.
Right.
Because when John joined us, he also, what's the term?
I regenerated from Ross.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm way too loud. My mic goes from not working at all to being way too loud. Hey, this show is all about television. Nellie, I'm not sure if you're aware of that. You have been on the show twice before.
Yes.
And yet I still feel it's important to tell you it is all about television.
All about television. I love television.
That's good.
Mm.
That's good. Because John hates it. And Brett thinks it's something to put his pot plants on. So,
I think what I'll bring to Box Cutters is the fact that I particularly love really crap television. And I think that's been missing a little bit, frankly.
It has, because I only like the good stuff.
I know you do. You're a snob.
Also, Nellie, before you were saying, I like everything. I'm not that keen on science fiction or comedies. Oh, thank God.
No.
Because that's all I ever watch.
That's all we've covered in the last
year.
So now, fortnightly, we will not be covering science fiction or comedy. Look. There will not be Doctor Who news every bloody week.
The last time I watched Doctor Who, I was 7 years old.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So there'll be no Doctor Who talk coming from moi.
So 14 years ago.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
You've just been kind because I started.
See what I did there? Butted up the new girl.
I do look young.
Not in a rude way.
Exceptionally.
Hey, who wants to know what's on the show tonight?
What's on the show tonight, Josh?
Oh, thanks for asking.
What a suck.
Hey, you don't have to work with her. I do. Okay? Yep. So just hold your tongue, Richard.
Although that could change.
I'll probably actually never see Nellie again ever after tonight. This will be the last time we'll ever meet.
I think we're firm friends.
Oh, that's nice to know. It's nice to know. On the show tonight, we're going to be talking about men of a certain age. Yeah. Not just generically.
Oh.
It's a
show. I was going to say, I'm hanging around.
It's a show what's called that.
Is it?
Yes.
What's that show?
It's called Men of a Certain Age.
But, like, what's it on?
Well, we're going to talk about it later on
all
in
right.
the show.
Oh, God, we'll be stuck here all night.
I know.
It's like, who's on first?
With this vaudeville. Yeah. Yada, da, da, da. And that's Box Cutters. Wah, 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 wah. We're going to talk about Men of a Certain Age. Mm-hmm. We've got an I Don't Buy It from Mr. Cropley. John, you're going to talk about TV cliches.
Something I had noticed on our break as I sat barricaded at home watching DVD after DVD of TV shows going, they're all the same.
For those of you unaware, we have been on a break for about 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people were just catching up on episodes and have only just gotten up to now. And so that brings you to here. So as far as you're concerned, we haven't been on a break. But we are refreshed as a hooker in the morning.
Oh, Josh Canal.
What, not refreshed? I couldn't think of anything that was refreshing.
I was thinking watermelon.
We're refreshed. Hang on, let me try this. We're refreshed as a moist towelette.
Now you've said moist and hooker within 30 seconds.
I love the insight into the new box cutters team that Millie thinks watermelon and you think hooker in the morning.
Although you and could combine the two, yeah. In fairness.
Yada-da-da-da-da, yada-da-da-da-da. We've got one thing. We've got letters to box cutters. We've got some pork. I want to say thanks to everybody who has written letters in during the break, and everybody who has donated money, either in the hope that we would never come back or as encouragement that we would come back. Either way, I hope you're happy with the result.
There is one thing we don't have though for the rest of the show, Josh.
Nellie Thomas.
Mm. Yeah,
she has to go home now and be a parent.
Well, yes, loosely. Either that or I have to watch the latest episode of Friday Night Lights that I downloaded today. Hey! One or the other.
Sure, whichever excuse you think is going to fly best with our audience.
But thank you so much, and I look forward to being back.
We'll see you
next
week.
Yeah. Can I ask one question before I go, though?
Yes. What is the show about? It's about television now.
No, I want to know if you three actually, on your break, on your little summer, you know, hijinks, did you watch television? Or did you have a break from television?
I don't.
Is television going to become work for me is basically what I'm asking.
No, I definitely watched lots of TV.
Did you?
Yeah.
I continue to watch television.
For pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in fact, I did also go back and start watching the last season of Lost in preparation for the upcoming last season of Lost.
Like I'm a big fan of rewatching.
That's like homework. Yeah, and I watched every episode of Glee, part of which will lead to what I'm going to talk about later.
Okay.
I look forward to it. All right.
Thanks, Nellie.
Thanks for having me.
Just so you know, as always, though, we're going to kick things off with the Box Cutters News.
Okay.
And now for the news.
Smooth.
It doesn't have the little tapey.
It's like you were never on holiday properly.
Thing fade out.
It's totally smooth.
That's how it ends. It just ends like that now.
Yeah, but not with the dodgy. Oh, the silence.
Yeah.
And I did just find out where I got that short news theme from.
Yes.
It was on the second burn that you gave me of the box cutters.
It's a mystery remix.
Weird. Anyway, hi. News. I don't know if anyone has heard. But there's been a bit of kerfuffle over at NBC in the US.
Kerfuffle? Is kerfuffle a strong enough word?
I don't think kerfuffle is necessarily a strong enough word. I think a snafu.
A shit fight, to quote our Prime Minister.
Well, yeah, a shit fight.
Now, if I can be representing the casual listener, viewer, who perhaps doesn't really care much.
Please loosen your tie.
Because I kind of keep seeing bits of this whole story, but I haven't actually been paying enough attention, or I'm not really sure why I should care as much as other things do. So talk me through.
That's what this segment is for. So back in the day, there were people on NBC who had late night talk shows. There was Johnny Carson, David Letterman followed Johnny Carson, Conan O'Brien followed David Letterman. That's how things worked. And then
was that each night?
Every night.
That's a lot of talk. That's a lot of talk shows.
A lot of talk shows.
And these are considered quite prestigious, aren't they?
Yes.
America? Right.
So there was the Tonight Show, the Late Show, and the Late Late Show.
And when we're saying Late Show, too, what times are we talking?
The Tonight Show is about 11:35, depending on where it's playing. Mm-hmm. But it's after the 10:30 news.
Right.
So the Late Late Show starts at about 1:30.
Which seems bizarre to me to have new content on at 1:30. Like, why would you bother? I wouldn't,
Every single night.
I'd play an infomercial for some sort of amazing cleaning product. That's what I would do.
I've never had a look at the figures. Are they, are viewer figures comparable to the pre-10:30 kind of slot?
Well, when I was first in the US in 1992, and Letterman was still on doing the Late Show, people loved him. Lots of people watched, and that was a show that started at 12:30. So I think it's mostly college kids, and then college kids, as they get older, have more responsibilities, they kind of drop off. But mm-hmm. uh, but new audiences come along all the time. There's this great book, I think called The Late Night Wars, and it details the whole thing. Johnny Carson retires, and David Letterman is next in line for The Tonight Show, but NBC decide to give it to Jay Leno instead. Jay Leno signs a contract to do The Tonight Show. Letterman leaves NBC, goes to CBS. They pay him an awful lot of money, and he becomes for a very long time, because they didn't have any money to put into any other programming, the only successful show on CBS. Meanwhile, Leno continues to do fairly good Tonight Show figures on NBC. Conan O'Brien moved into David Letterman's old slot, so now it was The Late Show with Conan O'Brien. So these things go back a very long time, and so Conan was the next in line to do The Tonight Show.
It's like this weird dynasty thing, isn't it?
It's like this weird kind of
things and...
And it's very prestigious to sit in the chair that Johnny Carson had, because he was America's great entertainer for so many years. And finally, when Leno was leaving The Tonight Show, Conan was signed on to do The Tonight Show. He was very excited. He had to leave his home of New York in order to go and do it, but was quite prepared to do that. Started The Tonight Show, but before that could happen, NBC said, well, we're not so sure about this 10 o'clock slot that we've got, where we traditionally show our most popular programming. So, which is where things like CSI and Lost and all those shows end up in this 10 o'clock slot.
Again, as an Australian viewer, it just seems weird. Because to me, 10 o'clock is
too late.
It's too late in this country. You know, hardly anyone kind of really watches anything. You know, 8:30, 9:30 is considered the prime.
Yes. Slot. And they have shows that start on the hour.
Okay.
Their big shows start on the hour. Their second fiddle shows. Like, if you've got two sitcoms next to each other, the big sitcom will start on the hour, and the second fiddle sitcom will start at the half hour.
Okay.
It's a very, very interesting scenario. But, yeah, that's where their big dramas are, 10 o'clock at night. So NBC decided, well, we're going to put Leno in at 10 o'clock as an experiment. We think it's going to be cheaper. We're not going to have to look at all those expensive dramas. We think we're going to be able to keep a huge audience. Conan can still have The Tonight Show at its regular slot of just after the 11 o'clock news.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's happy.
Well, and it's turned out to be a huge rating success, and everyone's happy. It's a fairy tale ending. Is that what you're
saying? And that's it. So what ended up? So it was an experiment that NBC were performing, but everyone knew. It seems like everyone other than NBC knew that it was a flawed experiment from the start. Leno was doing okay, but not great in his time slot. And they were essentially losing viewers to these other networks that did have all of their dramas on at 10 o'clock. Because what they discovered is that people are used to watching dramas at 10 o'clock. They like watching dramas at 10 o'clock. It's not a great time for them to watch talk. Plus, Leno's jokes are all tired. No one really liked what he was doing. That was one problem. Another problem is that Conan is not an everyman comedian.
Can we also just, again, for the casual listener, Leno's on with an enormously weird chin.
Massive chin.
And Conan's the redhead who's been on 30 Rock.
He's correct. Extremely tall.
Right. Okay.
He used to write for The Simpsons.
He did. He's written some of my favourite episodes of The Simpsons. Very funny man, but more kind of like a young hipster funny, not a generic Middle America funny. So Middle America did not like Conan O'Brien. And the rest of America did not like Leno at 10 o'clock. So NBC decided, here's what we're going to do. We'll put Leno still in the Jay Leno show after the 11:30 news. Put Conan on in the Tonight Show at 12:30. And put Craig Ferguson in the Late Show
He's the Scottish one.
He is the Scottish one. He was Andrew Carey.
I really like him. Yeah.
And so Craig Ferguson had the Late Late Show that followed Conan and then got the Late Show, and then Jimmy Kimmel got the Late Late Show. That's how that worked, or something.
He's the one in those viral videos.
Oh, hang on.
With Matt Damon.
Wait. Wait. No.
And...
yes. And
Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, that's not Craig Ferguson.
No, no, that's Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes. Jimmy Kimmel's on a different network. Sorry, I'm thinking of someone else. It is very confusing.
So we don't need to think about Jimmy Kimmel.
We don't need to think about Jimmy Kimmel. Stop thinking about Jimmy Kimmel. So there's so much that goes on in this, and there are many names, and they're like all just...
And in this joke with no punchline. Why do we care, though? Why is this getting so much attention and so much reporting in America? Why is it such a huge issue?
Because NBC have killed a television tradition. They've killed The Tonight Show. Because they can't give Leno The Tonight Show. They're contractually obliged to not give him The Tonight Show. He retired from The Tonight Show. The Tonight Show was Conan's to have. Conan believes, and this is the way it has been, that The Tonight Show is the show that follows the news. So being put back to 12:30, which is his old time slot, is like being given a promotion without actually being given a promotion. It's not the show that he was trying to do. It's not the show that he wanted to do, and it's not the show that he has worked 23 years to do. So he's quit.
Okay.
He's quit NBC. Released that in a statement. There were rumours about him going over to Fox to do a show over there. That's not necessarily true. All he said is that he will not be doing a 12:30 Tonight Show. And this is big news because they've killed a tradition, but also because NBC themselves are undergoing huge changes at the moment. And one of those changes is they've been sold by General Electric to Comcast. Comcast is like a big telecommunications company in the US. And so now Comcast owns the majority share in NBC Universal, which, I mean, aside from the obvious problems of changing management, there is the problem that's going to happen with 30 Rock, where Alec Baldwin's character works for General Electric and is posted in NBC. But now if General Electric don't own NBC,
right,
what's going to happen to his character? That's what I'm most worried about with this whole...
At the end of this drama about dynastic succession and money and power, it's actually 30 Rock.
What is going to happen to 30 Rock? Right. That's what I most want to know, because I don't want this to be an out for Alec Baldwin to not be in 30 Rock. I don't think he wants it to be an out. But the thing that affects us in Australia is our networks look to the American networks to see what they're going to do, how they're going to do things, and what works. And this is massive, mostly because it means that if you've made people promises, you are going to look very bad if you don't hold on to those promises, and people are going to disrespect you and not like you. And if anyone saw the Golden Globes earlier this week, there were a number of jokes about NBC and how they've handled this whole Conan thing. That's one thing, but the other thing is people do like watching drama. NBC were wrong. People like television telling them stories, not seeing fat men tell jokes all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the other thing that's really struck me over this week and reading about all of these shenanigans, is what the hell is so special about Jay Leno? Why are they shunting him back into that 11:30 slot?
Because he will still rate better there with all of their affiliate stations. Because that's the other thing. We've talked about this on Box Cutters before, but not for a long time. Imagine that the US is really more like
three different countries.
Well, no, it's more like country Australia. So instead of having the main networks, you've got affiliate stations that buy their programming from the major networks.
Like Golden West Network or...
Yes, or...
the one in Bendigo.
Or how Wind dumped Prime.
Yeah. So they actually get to make decisions about what they do and don't buy from the major networks. And there are affiliations that they have. So they're more likely to buy something from Channel... Prime is more likely to buy something from Channel 7. Win is more likely to buy something from Channel 9.
Yeah.
But they might also make their own content. They might do whatever. So the networks rely on their affiliates. And their affiliates are strongest in Middle America, and Middle America like Jay Leno. Because, I don't know, he doesn't make them think or whatever.
Did they like his new show? His early show?
Or do they only like him at 11:30?
I think they only like him at 11:30. They don't like him above and beyond watching CSI or Law and Order. I think they still like Law and Order better than Jay Leno, but if there's nothing else on... then they'll watch Leno.
So the end result is, I mean, has NBC just basically paid an absolute fortune to just put shows exactly back where they were?
Yes.
Like everyone's affected where they were. I mean, presumably being paid more now than they were before. And
Yes. They have shot themselves in every single foot they possibly could have.
I'm still mostly bewildered why it's worth having a 1:30 show. Like, would it be better just to show repeats of...
F-Troop?
You know, of F-Troop, yeah.
I personally think it's... often better to show repeats of F Troop no matter what time it is. But the I don't know. I don't know why they have it. I mean, people obviously watch these shows. People line up and try to get standby tickets and really want to see these shows. And people do stay up to watch these shows. I remember when Letterman first started being shown in Australia, which is in 1993 when he moved to CBS... I used to stay up. I would stay up 1:30 in the morning to watch Letterman. I mean, because the shows were fresh, the ideas were fresh, the jokes were things that we did not see all that often. It's like if The Daily Show was only on at 12:30 at night, people would stay up and watch it. I think that's what's happening there. And I also think that the whole thing about Conan is when Conan was on at 12:30 at night, he was a lot more like The Daily Show. He was doing things that were more irreverent or moved the envelope a lot more. And it's also quite possible that he was restricted with his earlier time slot. I mean, the show was not popular. The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien wasn't popular, but he had also only had about 5 months to try to make it popular. And when you're messing with people's habits and their habits for the last 10 years... you really have to give them a bit more of a chance and get more word of mouth. And so his big argument is that he was not given a chance by NBC and he was essentially lied to. Leno has very cleverly, I think, stayed mostly quiet in this whole time because he's just being given money for having a big chin. Like, he's quite happy with that. But, yes, with the whole GE Comcast thing, I'm wondering if Comcast know what they've bought. And as I said before, I'm mostly wondering what's going to happen with Alec Baldwin's character on 30 Rock. That's what really, really concerns me. Really. I didn't sleep very well last night because I was a little bit worried. They didn't mention it at all in this week's episode of 30 Rock. I'm just hoping they do. Just a couple of things of news in brief. Channel 7 on Monday the 18th, so the Monday last gone, at midday, launched the Plus 7 service.
What's the Plus 7 service?
Thank you. Thank you, Brett.
I haven't read anything about this.
Is it a form of cloning?
They sent this email at midday.
Today. Being Monday.
Saying, oh, finally, Plus 7 is available. And I went, plus what's a word now? Apparently, it's like a Hulu / iView thing for Channel 7.
Oh, okay.
I had a quick look at it.
Problem is, you can only watch content 7 hours exactly after it's just shown on Channel 7.
And only 7 copies on top of each other. It's like a sort of 3D technology that just doesn't work.
And I like that because it's maths.
What does it have on it, though? What's
Well, you can watch a couple of episodes from season 1 of Castle or a couple of episodes from season 3 of Castle. I don't know why. Let's see. I had it open earlier.
Really, it's season,
but it does have dramas and things.
I think they've done season 3 of
Castle. It's a time travel device. That's the impressive thing.
I'm telling you, it says season 3 of Castle. Whether or not they've done one, I don't know. So they should have the last 4 weeks of certain shows that you might like, or the last 4 episodes of certain shows you might like. So if you've missed an episode of Home and Away, you can catch it online. So they've finally worked out that people are willing to watch things on their television. They are willing to sit through on their computers. If they miss something, they're willing to sit through a little bit of advertising to get to it. They
are willing to use their bandwidth. But it's not just Seven's local content. There is actually international.
There is international stuff, but only after Seven have shown it. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see things that are brand new from the US, plus Seven is not the way to go.
Yeah.
My mouth will
work. And assumedly, it would only work for Australian viewers or connectors to the internet. Unless they were using some sort of special fancy.
That's...
you never know, though. Channel 7 may have just forgot to
press that button. They may have just forgotten to press that button.
So, yeah, give it a
go. So, it's like an iView Hulu thing, but instead of...
Surely Yahoo 7's put this together, so they should have people that know what they're doing.
That's Yahoo Sirius's brother.
Really? So they're more like an Asian family, where the first name is actually the family name.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Now you know.
Also, Foxtel, in a discussion with Gizmodo, the website, have said that they will have 3D television content in 2011. Why?
For all those 3D TVs that are getting sold. That's the latest thing, Josh.
Why? I still don't know. Is depth, like, is physical or visual depth the thing that is really missing from my Foxtel enjoyment?
You saw how exciting it was when Will.i.am turned up as a hologram in the studios for the election coverage, Josh.
And as we do know,
how fantastic is it going to be that you're going to be able to put your hands behind the 3D image on your TV?
And there will be Will.i.am. You can stroke Will.i.am.
Since that election coverage, I have just been in fear of Will.i.am just teleporting into whatever room.
But also, we know that Avatar changed cinema forever. So I imagine that just more shows will become like Avatar.
Oh, where they just steal stories from old shows, but make them 3D.
And they'll all be shot through leaves and branches. So you'll try and watch the news, and there'll just be these leaves and branches in the way.
Oh, is every single show going to have Sam Worthington in it now?
Yep, every single one.
Right. Well, that is the Box Cutters News. There was an article in the New York Times recently, and it was...
There are probably more than one. There's probably several articles in the New York Times recently.
Who would know, though? Because nobody ever takes a login.
That's true. So maybe actually the New York Times doesn't exist anymore. It's just a front saying, please log in.
I log into the New York Times.
Oh, well, there you go.
Disproved. Do you spoke me not? Or do you have your own?
I've got my own. I've had my own since, like, 2001.
Is it not still a physical paper, or are we just...
It is a physical paper, but it costs $2 if you're in New York.
See, but I would read it while having a coffee, because that's how I like to read newspapers. I go to a cafe, I have a cup of coffee, I read the paper. So I never buy the paper, I'm buying the coffee. And the paper is a... So, you know, if I was in a New York cafe, perhaps on Christopher Street, I don't know, I might pick up the New York Times and flip through it while drinking my coffee and looking out a window.
Okay. You do like looking out windows.
I do love
it. You are mad for looking out windows.
I was doing quite a lot of actual TV writing today, and I realized after a while that more than 60% of that was actually just me staring out a window thinking, wonder what I should do. Anyway, go on. New York Times.
It's nice to sometimes get inside your mind, John Richards.
Yeah, most of it look out a window, and there was like three other writers also there looking out the window. It was a busy window.
That's your writer cafe that you go to.
That is my writer cafe. If a lot of dramas show up next year which have Peter Monty's supermarket in them, you'll know exactly what's going on.
So, there was an article in the New York Times that was reprinted in the Green Guide last week about how the decade, and if you count the decade starting from 2000, which a lot of people do, let's not get into that now.
No, just move on.
You know, if the last 10 years start from the last 10 years, then yes. So for the last 10 years, we've had a lot of shows about men and introspection, and looked at how Sopranos was all about men in therapy, and then In Treatment, and Mad Men, and all these shows that have just come about in recent times that are about men, and we've spoken about this a lot on Box Cutters. That's got nothing to do with the show that we're going to review this week. That show is called Men of a Certain Age. And the article does really talk about it all, culminating and finishing with, or hopefully finishing with this new show that stars Ray Romano, Andre Brower, and Quantum Leap.
Yes,
he's got a name.
Scott Bakula.
Scott Blackula.
Scott Bakula.
Blackula.
He's the commander of that spaceship.
Oh, Enterprise.
Yeah. He was the unpopular Star Trek captain. I was actually thinking about that. Thinking
back. Hang on.
That must be no.
Chuck's dad.
That was Sam Jones. I think you're thinking of. But yeah.
So that's six people in it because Chuck's dad's in it as well.
It must be kind of cool though. I think every so often, you know, if Scott Bakula, and I have a terrible feeling it actually is pronounced Bakula. Like it shouldn't be. But I think I read somewhere it is. If he ever gets really depressed and you go, well, I did captain the Starfleet. You know, and that kind of would perk you up a bit. You know, no one can take that away from you. Yeah, you were in the one that no one watched, but still, you were the captain of a spaceship.
Yeah. Yeah, he's done that.
And as he goes senile, he'll think it really happened.
As he goes, he'll remember that time that he met Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
And taught him how to sing Peggy Sue.
Anyway, the show. Talk about the show. Talk about the...
So this is produced by Ray Romano. It is not a comedy. It is a one-hour drama about three friends who have been friends forever, but now they are in their late middle age and they find themselves...
Late 40s. See, Paul McCartney a couple of years ago was saying now he's in his middle age at 64.
No, he's old much. Now.
Yeah, exactly. But everybody kept on talking about Paul McCartney. He's middle aged now.
If he didn't have his,
just to be specific, they're in their late 40s.
He's or very late 40s. They are turning 50 or have reached 50.
48, 49 seem to be the
which I consider to be late middle age.
Anyway, go on, move on.
Paul McCartney could be a pensioner,
but he has so much money he can change words.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Changed the writing credits on his.
He did. He did buy the Oxford Dictionary.
He did
with all of his money.
Yeah.
The full thing, like all 26 volumes, he bought it.
Apparently, the Prime Minister of England is now called the Chicken Muncher because he bought the words Prime Minister and
did
changed
he?
Them
and changed them to Chicken
it's
Muncher.
Like Kaiser stealing their words for Audies.
Anyway, get to the show. Talk about the show.
Oh, the show.
Yeah.
Right. So it's men in their late middle age who have found themselves a little bit lost in life, kind of looking for something a little bit different, or holding on to their youth with as much vigor as they can, or just trying to make a go of it with their relationships, be they their ex-wives or their parents. You've got one character who still lives under the thumb of his father. Andre Brower's character works in a car dealership that is run by his father, and he is somehow being overlooked as successor and being made a mockery of.
Is he being overlooked, or is he actually just not very good at his job? There's a question mark there. We should probably point out too that all three of them went to college together, which is how they've known each other, and so they are linked. Yeah, the thing that links these three sort of characters in their stories is just about they know each other and they hang out a lot. They're good friends, and one of them owns his own party supplies shop. One of them works for his dad as a car salesman. And the other one's an actor who has a some sort of almost like a temp job, I think. I couldn't work out what it's some sort of office kind of job, but everyone knows he's an actor.
That fills in between him going off to auditions for the next big part.
Yes. And so he's the one who is struggling to hold on to the goals and dreams of his youth. And so he's still trying to make it as an actor. As such, he doesn't have a lot of respect for his day job. I suspect that's going to come back and bite him in the ass.
I'm going to kick off the opinion, because everything we've just had with described this show, I think, makes it sound absolutely dreadful. Mm. And I was.
Doesn't it? Really, doesn't it just make it sound like just, I never want to watch that
and
show ever?
It has that
ever.
Kind of whingy, whiny kind of. And I thought when it started, it might have been a remake of that UK one, which was Manchild.
Manchild.
Which was just unwatchable.
Terrible.
I don't know if you saw
that. Had Giles Stuart
Buffy.
Head.
Yeah.
And Giles from Buffy.
And
that guy who sang One Night in Bangkok, his brother.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. One Night in Bangkok guy's
Murray Head's brother.
Yeah, Murray Head's brother. Yeah.
But not our listener, Murray Head, as far as I know.
Unless he is the One Night from Bangkok.
They're not really brothers, are they?
Murray Head and Anthony Stewart.
Yeah, really? Actually brothers. Yes. Yeah, yeah. And Giles from Buffy.
I never knew that.
Triplets.
Anyway, and that show was all about these guys and, oh, we're getting old, but, oh, we're wealthy and, oh, we just throw money at young women and, it was just dreadful.
I'd buy myself a Harley Davidson.
Oh, dreadful, oh, dreadful.
So embarrassing.
This I'm not one, sure they were particularly wealthy. Like Ray Romano.
The English one. This one, though, I was going to say, there was things. So I started off watching this thinking, oh, it's going to be the same sort of thing. And it does almost deliberately show them as a bit kind of pathetic at the beginning of the first episode. And then as it goes on, I just found, I just had this huge, empathy with the characters. And I was going to say, actually, it's weird that you mentioned that thing, because we had an argument at home about whether or not they were middle class, because Chris was going, they're definitely middle class. I was going, yeah, but they're struggling middle class. It's like, these are people who feel they could slide down to working class. Like, there's definitely this sense that all these people are clawing on. There's no glamour in the worlds they're in. There's no certainty in the worlds they're in. Either
there is with the flick of a switch, they could lose the income that is keeping them at middle class.
Yeah,
they're all on that brink,
and yet there's something really lovable about them in a way, and I think particularly the fact the first episode, slight spoiler. Actually, no, I can't even know how to describe it. It ends with a moment which Ray Romano's character basically does something to commemorate the dead. And it was such an amazing moment for me to go, that just really works. It was just a tiny little visual moment for something in the episode that wasn't very important, but it kind of tied everything back together.
I'm trying to bring
I don't want to spoil it very much. But it was just that thing of, these moments in it. And the first episode in particular has these great visual moments where it shows a character doing something and then in the dialogue has them expressly contradicting what they've just done, which the other episodes sadly don't do anymore. But it was kind of that really nice thing to see the sophistication of the storytelling, of assuming that you're watching and paying attention. Like, it didn't feel the need to explain to you.
It's a lot of thought has gone into this show. And I think it's very easy to negate it from the start by going, oh, well, it's Ray Romano. It's just going to be some kind of Everybody Loves Raymond sequel.
He was a surprise. I really didn't.
He is fantastic in it, but he's also produced this.
He co-wrote it.
And he co-wrote it. It's got so much heart in it. Mm-hmm. I found myself really engaged with these characters. And when it started, I thought, here we go again, exactly like you did. And then just found myself keeping on watching it. Kind of be one of those shows that you go, oh, I'll give it a go while I'm doing the ironing, and then the next thing you know, one of your shirts have burned.
Like Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also I really like the fact that the three characters are very carefully obviously designed, that like Ray Romano has a business which makes him successful, which the others obviously would like. Yeah, one of them's working for his dad, one's his own business, one's sort of self-employed, not caring about his job, but then
and hasn't done that deal with working for the man. They talk about Sisyphus,
but then
rolling the turd up just to have it roll down overnight.
But then you also the other way around. Obviously, some of the boys are jealous of the fact that Scott Bakula's life involves picking up beautiful women all the time. But he obviously kind of likes the certainty of the family life of one of the other characters. And it was just really nice.
Like everyone's a solid in a long-standing relationship or anything.
And everyone's got something in their life that is appealing to one of the others, but none of the three of them have everything, and it's that sense of who do you want to be.
Except when they're together.
Yes.
Yeah. And when they're together, they kind of seem to have everything that they want, because they can talk about all the good things in their lives without having to talk about all the bad things in their lives, and at a point where they do start talking about the bad things, it's like everything's breaking up. If they start picking on one flaw from one of the members of the group, then it feels like everything is breaking up, and the friendship that would have lasted for decades and decades and decades might be coming to an end. Because everything that they have is only the good times. That's all their relationship is based on.
No, I don't know. I didn't get that so much. There was a discussion about gambling at one point, which I thought actually went more the other way. I thought it was showing that these two characters were so concerned for their friend. I actually found that really quite moving, how much love they have through the bad times. There's a sense that they're going to help each other.
And they had gone and they through have helped that each other. Previously.
Yeah. I don't know. I was...
Oh, see, I kind of sensed that as... I don't know, maybe I just... I feel... Because there is this intervention scene,
mm-hmm.
right? And I kind of... Maybe I just feel that nervousness in an intervention scene at any stage where someone is just going to get up, walk out, and never come back.
No, I got the feeling that these guys had a... they definitely... Two of them had been through another one's quite bad breakup from the feel of... But you got the feeling they had been the thing that had got him through in many ways. I don't know. I got the feeling that this is a very strong... You know, friendship between these three characters, and that's another reason I think I enjoyed watching it so much. That it wasn't, there's no heroes or villains in this show. It's just these people doing some stuff, and I'm always much more interested in the idea that life is the ultimate antagonist, which I think is why I enjoy shows like Mad Men and like this. The idea that there's no particular villain causing any of this. There's just stuff happens to people, and you are your own worst enemy. And it's people trying to work out what they can do to make themselves better, which is what I think this show is about.
Brett, how did you find it?
Really, 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 really surprised that Ray Romano was in this thing, and that it was that none of the Everybody Loves Raymond stench had stuck to him, and maybe that's actually saying something about how talented Ray Romano is, even in the face of a show killer like Patricia Heaton, who does seem to have done the same thing with Back to You and the middle isn't looking well. But the style stylistically, the way it's shot took me back to early NYPD Blue. It's handheld, it's not. And I'm trying to think of other shows where
it's not like Wildside.
It's over the top. It's really low.
It's not like Wildside, or it's not like the super fast motion of Dead Set, or you know the way they switch over the Canon cameras to use that effect. That
it's much more like an indie film. I think it felt more like you were watching a '90s indie film.
Like colors are subdued, and like even when they're out hiking around the mountain, which they seem to do quite often. It still doesn't seem like they're out in the sunlight, although they clearly are. But I think that's kind of the mood of the whole piece. And it's interesting some of the metaphors going through there, like with the possum crossing over the road.
Yep.
And I suspect that. Well, I'm not sure if we're supposed to think that that is them, or if they all think that that is them. The whole kind of you step on an insect's head, you don't just let it kind of shuffle around for a while it dies forever. You go back and stomp on it. Would they actually do that to themselves? And I think that they kind of have a sense of that.
There is a lovely scene there where you see three people reacting quite differently to one event, which I thought was really impressive. You do also see a quite bad CGI possum. That's the only thing I've got. Yeah, just
I didn't notice it was CGI.
There was a bad CGI possum at one point, and we were going, yeah, not the best. Never mind.
And there's something about the title, and we don't usually talk about titles in this show, but at first I thought, Men of a Certain Age, well, it tells you everything you need to know about the show and it doesn't make it sound appealing.
Mm-hmm.
But then...
It's a weirdly not American title, though, as well. Isn't it a very English phrase?
But then thinking about it, and the show is so very much about not only how old the characters are, how they're getting older, and how getting older seems to make them more and more irrelevant, or that, you know, in society's eyes, but also that it is about the age we're living in. I think it's actually a well-thought-out title.
Well, it is funny because it's one... The financial crisis has been mentioned in a few of the shows we've watched, and it wasn't hung, but it always felt like it was kind of thrown in, you know, as they were filming, they realised they had to mention it kind of thing. And this one feels very much like it's a series written in the shadow of the American financial crisis.
Yeah, this is just about how things are at the moment for men who are getting towards late middle age and are struggling to keep afloat because they are just on that precipice.
Yeah, and it's the uncertainty of both your body and of the financial world you're living in. And yet at the same time, which makes it all sound very depressing, there is still quite a lot of light in this. And there are some very funny moments, there are funny lines, there are, and, you know, I think there's actually, it doesn't feel as despairing as it does, I think, well, to me, when we're describing it. It sounds like a much bleaker show. Because even just saying that thing about the look, it's so stripped back. The colours are stripped back. I kept thinking they look dusty all the time. Like all three of the actors, I kind of wanted, it was so weird to look at them going, they just look like they've covered a bit of talcum powder and you want to kind of wipe them clean. But it's warmer. It's a lot warmer than that would sound.
Oh, the relationships are amazingly warm.
Mm. One of the best flirting scenes I've seen on television in a long time between Scott Bakula's character and the girl at the coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really well-written flirting scene and really well-played, I think, as well.
Do I know her from Californication?
From Californication.
Yeah. But the writing, Jeremy, was great. I mean, I just watched three episodes and I was really impressed with all three, just how it didn't go too far anywhere. It was so nicely pitched.
Yeah.
You know, throughout all three episodes.
But like also with that romance scene, or the flirting scene, I don't think that Scott Bakula's character sees it as a tenable thing to pursue, and his friends definitely aren't up for it. They're like, you know, she's a teenager and you're almost 50.
But the thing is, he enjoys the flirting so much, that's so obvious.
But it completely would not surprise me at all if they get together.
But my point is that that's all in the acting and the writing. It's not mentioned. It's not overt, and it's not. It's not sucky. Like, it did make me cringe, like most flirting scenes do.
But also, like you're saying, back in this character, it's kind of interesting because he's not that vain. Like, he's an actor, but he's, in some ways, he comes across as the most realistic of the three of them. Like,
he's self-effacing.
Well, and he knows who he is. You know, he kind of knows what he's doing in life. So he's fully aware that, you know, the 50-year-old man, you know, sort of chatting up a 25-year-old woman, it's not the best. You know, it's kind of, I kind of like the fact that he's fully aware of what's going on, but he actually has quite a nice life, it seems, you know.
And the third, which we haven't mentioned much of, is Andre Brower, who was excellent in Homicide: Life on the Streets. Was also in a single season show called Thief that was on cable in the US a couple of years ago, which I really enjoyed. Might do it as a Things You May Have Missed at some stage, and was also in the not very good Gideon's Crossing. Which was another bloody hospital drama.
Right. But he's great in this.
He's fantastic. He's an really excellent, good. Excellent actor.
It's also quite nice to just mention that there's a large number of black members of the cast, and it's obviously irrelevant. It's kind of really nice to see in a few of the storylines. There's just, you know, it's not just all white faces.
Yeah.
And it's not for real. Yeah, they're not junkies. They're not, you know, they're not crime bosses. They're just everyday people.
And they're not token.
And they're not either. Token at all.
And his son's obsession with the Hulk is very cute.
This is a terrible thing. I kept going, wow, they got the Hulk in this. I wonder how much that cost. I kept thinking about copyright infringement. So much Hulk in there.
It was toys. They didn't actually have a CG Hulk as a character in there.
Oh, and one of the worst CG Hulk possums I've ever seen.
Oh, when he got it mad.
I know.
Don't get that possum mad.
That's men of a certain age. You can find it somewhere on the internet, depending on where you are in the world.
Is
you
it
can
still airing in America then? Is it new?
It is brand new. I think FX? It's only up to like episode 6 or something.
Mm-hmm. Was it FX that showed over there?
I can't remember. Oh, no, I think it's TNT, isn't
I'm
it?
I'm trying to think of the logo.
It's the same station as Leverage, because I remember that was coming up.
Yes, yeah, so it's TNT.
I mean, when I was watching it in America on television, obviously.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. Clearly. Men of a certain age, either wait for it to come out on DVD, wait for it to be shown somewhere close
seven,
to you.
7.2 maybe.
Or find it on the interwebs any way you can. We all think it's good.
Are you one of those that follows the ads?
Now I can talk as much as I want.
Got the sly look.
Hello, this is Ricardo Montalban.
Get me a jury and show me how you can say in July and I'll go down on you.
5.3, 5.4, 5.7, 5.6.
Somebody at the door there, Josh. You get that?
Oh, yeah, I'll just...
Smither?
Oh, hey.
Our records indicate that you spent last Australia Day on the couch.
Now, we are in the middle of the long, hot Australian summer.
Yes, it
Australia Day is coming up.
Has been hot.
Actually, I think everybody was freaking on the roads because they haven't seen any sort of precipitation for 3 years at least, from my memory.
I was precipitating quite a lot the other day at the gym.
No, you would need to be up in the clouds to do that, I believe. I think that's the technical definition there, isn't it? Anyway, we're heading towards the end of January, and the end of January is our National Day of Celebration for... Well, some call it Invasion Day. The establishment calls it Australia Day. And obviously the federal government are out there wanting to get people to actually celebrate the day for what it is, rather than just having it as a day off and watching the cricket or whatever.
Well, can I point out, if you're in Perth, you would commonly be watching the 96FM Sky Show on Australia Day. And
do they still have that?
They still have that, because I found out the other day from one of our listeners that apparently they still have the thing at the beginning where this voice goes, "The sky is about to explode."
They had Sean Connery.
They still do that. Yeah, the sky is always going to explode. Always about to explode. Never does. Just some fireworks. Disappointing.
I wouldn't watch that because I'd get scared that I would go blind and then the Triffids would take over.
Yeah, bloody Triffids.
We did used to have Sky Show here. I assume it was because too many palms at Talbot Park got lit up by the crowd going home every year. You just go in there. It would be like massive torches.
That's why I moved to Melbourne. It's so much classier.
The concept of Sky Show I never really got. Sorry, I know we've interrupted, but the concept of Sky Show I really never got because... it was supposed to be that the fireworks would be in time with the music that was playing on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Except, it was Fox FM here.
Except that the problem was that, yes, the fireworks might be exploding. So visually, it matches the sounds that are coming. But because then 2 seconds later you would get the sound of the explosion from the firework that was supposed to meet that sound that was two seconds earlier, the whole thing just seemed out of sync to me.
It never actually worked anyway.
No.
It was always kind of like purple rain and then, you know, some purple fireworks would go off eventually. You know, it was that kind of thing.
Yeah, bless. Anyway, so Australia Day is coming up, Brett.
Given we don't have Sky Show over on this side of the country and people were just tending to take it as a day off, the federal government have put this ad out, which is encouraging people to have a bit of a barbie with their mates. It is very...
Hang on, the government is advertising a public holiday? Really?
They're advertising, use the public holiday for what it's actually gazetted for.
Don't go to work.
No, or, I'm confused again.
Get out there and celebrate.
And claim someone else's land as your own.
The invasion of this country, yes.
What the day was originally intended for, which I always thought was, if it falls on a Monday, it's usually the last Monday of the month, which means
a long weekend.
It's a great chance for you to watch the Super Bowl without having to miss work.
Can we hear a bit more of the ad then? Can we hear the other thing that they're trying to tell us to do? Was there a part two?
It's a very kind of square looking, youngish looking kid, early 20s, in a very plain shirt and his clipboard, going door to door and apparently, they were spying on everybody that they're talking to the year before because they know that he didn't do anything for it. He was just on the couch.
That's why we shouldn't have an Australia card.
That's true.
Yes.
And and just kind of romps into the house and inspects the barbecue and shows off his tattoo of Jimmy Barnes and loves Coily and Lamingtons. But also in this day and age, I think it's a new day and age where we're dealing with youth violence on the streets of Melbourne. Like this is a big problem that it's a generational thing, I think. I think it's something that we're actually going to need to change society for. So I don't think that this is actually what we want to hear in something promoting celebrating Australia.
Listen, Australia Day is your chance to say thanks for beaches, Lamington drives, Kylie, and our democratic right to give dead arms.
Right.
No. See the fireworks then.
I think that's the problem with this country. We have no democratic right to give dead arms. It's assault.
I'm still bewildered by this concept. Hang on. Is this the government, are you saying?
This is the government.
Are paying with my tax dollars to put ads on people's televisions, telling them not to sit on the couch on a public holiday, but have a barbecue.
Get out there, enjoy Kylie and Lamingtons and occasioning violence against your friends.
What is a dead arm?
It's when you take your machete and you go out in public and you start whacking away.
I'll hold it up for the camera for the video no podcast. Video it's when podcast. You get your fist like that with your middle knuckle
and
sticking
like,
out.
It's corking, the arm.
Yeah, that's a dead arm because your arm goes dead.
Right. Is that a particularly Australian thing?
Apparently.
Is that what the convicts came to this country to establish it for?
It was signed off by the government from the advertising agency.
They should have mentioned casual racism. That's my
point. On the basis that that was humour.
Or maybe, see, yeah.
Because I just think the best too much of people, but I do suspect that they didn't literally mean that people should be out there giving everybody dead arms.
I'm still amazed at you two. Maybe it's just me. I'm still bewildered by the idea that government feels the need to advertise a public holiday and also feels the need to tell you what to do on the public holiday. The one thing they're doing is the wrong thing to be doing and the other thing is the right thing to be doing. That's just...
This is the same government that wants to tell you what you can and can't see on the internet.
Right.
This government is bang up for dictation.
And I think the token patriotism in this country is just expected after 12 years of pretty hardcore stuff, and, which was why for 150 grand each we got flagpoles at the top of each of the struts
on
Westgate Bridge.
I didn't get a flagpole.
They're up there. There's two flagpoles at the top
of
Westgate Bridge.
Is one of them mine?
Which they had to shut off the Westgate Bridge and cause traffic jams to be able to get up there. That cost 150 grand.
So almost because so many people now... and I'm one of them, have started to see nationalism as kind of a dodgy thing in the same way that in the UK. Like, you see someone in Australia flag, cape, you know to avoid them because they're going to be dodgy. They're the people down the beach bashing up minorities.
You ever see anyone in a cape, they're going to be dodgy. Flag, cape, or not.
I suppose so. But the point is that, anyone with a Southern Cross tattoo, I am suspect of because I find that really alarming because to me, they are going to be some kind of white supremacist. So the idea that, that the government's now telling me I have
miner.
To be... Or a gold miner. The government's telling me I have to be more, I have to be less couch bound on my Australia Day holiday kind of... creepy. I'm creeped.
You know what? As far as patriotism and advertising goes... I want people to be told to look at the labels on their on the foods that they buy when they're in the supermarket and see if they are made from locally produced ingredients. That's the sort of thing that I want the Australian government to say, hey, it's going to help our economy, it's going to help your fellow Australian if you buy Australian. That's the kind of patriotism that I think would be acceptable from a government as far as advertising goes.
What is the point of this campaign? I'm sorry, I was still can't get my head around. Why would you bother wasting the money to
because they've got political because they've got budgets that they need to run out before the next budget.
But surely there's something else you could don't leave your child on the train tracks or something. On Australia
Day.
Well, there's
there no specific day for that. I think that's the problem.
I just can't help thinking the other campaigns.
If we had a holiday for it and people were still doing it, I think that would warrant an advertising campaign. But we don't, and they're not.
Yeah,
that day.
I think there's a huge problem because they want Australia Day to mean something, but
it doesn't, and that's the glory of Australia.
I know that's
one
that's
of the great things about this country is we don't give a shit.
We already have a public holiday on the day that our nation was founded. It's the 1st of January. Okay, already have
good
that.
Planning, founding fathers.
Yeah, but that's I think that's just so Australian. It's like, oh, we'll whack it on that day because it's already taken care of.
So it's already taken care of. We wouldn't need a second holiday. Yeah. And then we've got Australia Day. Everyone knows it's January 26th. No one really knows. What is it? The day that Captain Cook landed? Is it the day that Botany Bay got its name?
I believe it was the first fleet
put up Botany Bay. So it's the day.
But no one knows. No one knows.
That's the famous painting.
Yeah. So it's the day
with those soon to be dead Indigenous people looking on.
It's the day that a foreign country came to this country and put up a flag that is not ours. Mm. So we already don't care about it. You're right, John. They just don't get it. But they want to spend all of this money. Your hard-earned tax dollars.
My hard-earned tax dollars.
I don't know why all you earn is tax dollars, though, because you just got to give that back. You should earn some John dollars.
Just for change.
Hey, this is Wolfman Jack. You're on the box because you stay tuned right here, okay? Love you.
You can dance to that one.
Yeah, there's some bass. There's some bass in the back. Mm. John Richards.
Have we got time? Have we got time for a minute? I'm just thinking, you know, because didn't you have something? You had something else you wanted to do.
Well, there's letters, but, you know, letters we can hold off
but,
until...
Yeah, because I was going to have a vague and ill-formed, you know, general opinion. I can do that in 2 weeks' time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know what? Why don't we cut straight to one thing, Brett, and then if we can... and then if we've got time for letters, we'll do letters.
That
and
sounds
then
good.
We'll hold off on your thing for a couple of weeks, John.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch one thing. Brett Cropley, if you were going to watch one thing now that we're back into television watching season, what would it be?
Now, I don't have the time for it, but I have noticed that this week...
I don't have the time for this segment. Get out!
This week,
I've got Australia Day to celebrate. Oh my gosh!
This week sees the legitimate... launch of Breaking Bad on ABC 2.
Oh,
I'm not sure
fantastic.
What night or what time it's on. Have you got a guide there? I can look.
No,
up
I don't.
You, but you can watch it on iView, I believe.
It is an excellent television series.
Mm, it is. It's amazing.
And yes, if I was going to watch one thing, I'd watch myself and go, hey, remember when we do the show, we have that segment at the end where we watch one thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Pull your finger out, Sonny, and look up something, because I completely forgot that this bit existed.
I would...
it's been nice being on holiday, hasn't
it? Yes. It's been lovely. I don't think it would take very long to watch you pull your socks up, John. And I'm quite willing to watch that as well. But also, I discovered this show on the History Channel, which unfortunately I don't have. So not only, you know, am I part of the small part of the population that does have Foxtel, I don't have the History Channel on Foxtel, which means...
I thought how the History big, Channel was one of the most basic...
How big could their audience
be? Yeah.
But there's this show called... Do you remember that show that for a very short period of time starred Priscilla Presley, amongst other people? That's Incredible.
Right.
Do you remember that? This is a History Channel show called That's Impossible.
Yeah.
I love the title. I think having something called That's Impossible, I know what I'm going to get. I'm going to get a whole list of things that are impossible, and then someone's going to say that's impossible.
I don't.
That's my theory there. I think it's fair. I want to see what is impossible. Give me a whole show about something that is impossible.
Do you actually know what the show is about?
Well, I think this week it is about... Hang on, let me...
You don't actually know what the show is about at all, are you? You've just chosen the show at random.
No. This week, I've chosen the show as a generic... It's about something different every week. This week it is about death rays and energy weapons. And I believe that this clip that I'm about to play is from that episode... just so you know, a little bit in advance, HAARP is this these giant antennas that send out a lot of power. Somewhere in America, there are all these antennas that work together as one very, very large, very powerful antenna.
Transmitting. Or receiving.
Transmitting.
Okay.
And so what That's Impossible does is it takes concepts from, I think pretty much from comic books, because they've also got an episode called Invisibility Cloak.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all those things that you wish existed, D&D. but clearly never did exist, because they're clearly impossible.
Harry Potter has an Invisibility Cloak.
Yeah, yeah. So,
they do have close prototypes of the Invisibility Cloak.
So you might want to fade this in, Brett, because I don't know, it starts a bit... Yeah.
But another theory has surfaced. The intense energy being beamed into the sky by HAARP is actually heating up the atmosphere, causing weather changes.
HAARP is being used for weather modification. The military's own record proves it. They've admitted it within their own documents, and yet they still deny it to the public.
Dr. Brooks Agnew has researched ELF wave technology for the past 30 years. And is convinced HAARP's effect on the ionosphere does alter the weather.
This episode is about building machines that can change the weather.
So I was going to say you had me in death race, but this does seem the History Channel is basically just playing conspiracy theory shows.
It feels that way from this clip, but I think it's more all those things that the evil genius scientists in comic books have tried to invent
are all real.
They're all real. That's impossible? No, it's not. Is what it should really be called.
Have they already spoken about how it was impossible for the Twin Towers to come down just out of one plane each going into them and that
it's just a conspiracy show.
No, because that's not... Because that's
it's
not...
It's a cult.
That's not something from fiction that is actually real. So these are things from fiction, like, I don't know, have I mentioned invisibility cloaks?
is the History Channel as a TV station now the same as, like, MTV is music television and AMC is American movie?
It's anything we think you might be interested, please watch us, plus you might get some pictures of Hitler.
Okay.
That's what the History Channel is. That's actually what
it's going to be on SBS.
That's what the acronym stands for. History.
Right.
It's anything that we think you might be interested, plus some pictures of Hitler.
Actually, I was thinking that for SBS. It's a history. His story. His is Hitler. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
History, quite literally, documentaries about Hitler.
I thought that was quite well known from their mandate. Their
a whole world of Hitler.
Yes.
Yeah. I was thought with his... With breaking history up,
yeah,
it's actually his Tory.
Oh, it is,
and so it's really talking about Dennis Thatcher. it's all about Dennis Thatcher and his relationship with Margaret.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad pilot goes to air on ABC 2, 9:30 till 10:30 Friday the 22nd of January 2010.
Watch it, and that's impossible. Stories about. Mega rays and things like that is on History Channel Sunday night at 8:30.
Hey, when I cast my pod, it's with the box cutters in mind. Box cutters. Pod. Cast. Done. Pork is on the table.
I saw Brian Nankervis in the supermarket yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've never spoken face-to-face, we've only ever spoken on the phone, like that thing was on the phone, I wanted to run up to him and just yell, pork is on the table, pork is on the table, pork is on the table, but decided against it in case he thought I was a crazy man.
I don't know why he would have thought that.
I don't know. But that was the exciting bit from my holidays.
Hey, I got a quick question for you, thrown into pork. We were saying at the top of the show about the American late night chat shows and whatnot, and you were talking about changing a tradition. Of course, in Australia, we always had that tradition for many, many years that 8:30 on a Sunday was movie night.
And that ended about 12 years ago.
Yeah. Was it? Oh, I was going to say it was more recent than that. But I remember when there was some talk about when it was like, well, maybe one of the stations had kept with it. And when someone finally kind of went with it. Do you think, though, because you were saying at the top of the show that people want to see these things and you can't change them, or at least they failed to change them. That seemed to be, though, that it just went away and we didn't particularly.
That's because habits changed organically without being dictated to you by the networks.
Oh, so you think the movies were still hanging around even though the habit of watching a movie
had actually gone.
Right.
And mostly that came about with at around the same time, so maybe not 12 years ago, but at around the same time that DVDs became really popular.
Mm-hmm.
and people suddenly had access to a lot of entertainment that was high quality. And
well, I'm saying because there were video shops before that, which were pretty much the same quality, but they weren't telly though.
Yeah, the same quality as telly.
Yeah,
but for some reason DVDs people just flicked, and they just thought DVDs were so much better than VCRs.
I thought maybe just crystal meth got popular or something. People lost their attention span that they had before.
No, they just stopped watching. They just stopped watching movies on television. They just stopped being able to sit through a film with ads in it.
Yes, but your point, Mr. Canal, I think you were saying is that basically people had already changed their mind and the stations were still going, as opposed to
the station telling them.
Right.
And that gradual migration may have actually had more to do with what the networks were doing with them, which was to, might seem like they had less than usual number of ads in the first hour or so, but then just to cram them in every single 15 minutes have 5 to 10 minutes of ads. It was terrible the way that they did that, and the way that they use compression in the advertising so that it all sounds so much louder after you've been watching a dark, spooky film.
Mm-hmm. That brings us to the end of Box Cutters episode 208. I want to say sorry to the people whose letters we didn't get a chance to read out, but I am so very grateful for them. They kept me going through the summer break.
Long week. We can use the next week. We should point out, I don't know if we actually fully understood, explained what the hell is going on.
Next week you're going to be Nellie Thomas.
I will be Nellie Thomas next week. The week after, Nellie Thomas will be me, and the week after that, I will be Nellie Thomas. So basically, Nellie Thomas and I are now going to be like a single entity that
sharing the one brain.
Sharing the one brain. So this space will just alter from week to week. Alternately, Nellie and I will be co-hosting fortnightly. I'm not sure which way it's going to go.
No, but alternating co-hosting fortnightly.
Yeah. No, it's like two people 1 week, four the next. Yeah. So it's crazy. So
when you're here, she generally won't be.
Yeah.
And when she's here, you generally won't be.
Yeah, it's like I'm Matter and she's Antimatter.
Oh. No, we can't have you together.
No, you'd be Uncle Matter.
Yeah.
And she'd be Antimatter.
Hey!
Yeah, but I also want to say thanks to everybody who did donate over the summer. I'm hoping that's because you missed us. If you do want to donate, help keep our show going. There's a little donate to Box Cutters button on the website.
And you can buy Box Cutters t-shirts. We've never quite got around to actually putting the link onto the front page.
Yeah, I just like people to find that organically.
Yes, there is.
Really, have we not?
No, we never kind of. It was on one thing, and then it just disappeared down the page. And so, yes, there are some actually really fantastic Box Cutters t-shirts. I've got the one that actual Chad designed, which is phenomenal. It's a brilliant shirt, and
it is fantastic.
I think we should sell some more of them because they actually look really good.
Yeah. So you can do that.
They're from Redbubble. Redbubble. Sorry.
Do we have a standing Skype account that people can leave us messages through?
No, but we will.
Sweet. We look forward to that.
Yeah.
So, we'll have...
As well as all of the other conduits through which you may communicate with us, which you'll hear Josh enunciate at the end of the program.
Yeah, there will also in future be just a regular landline phone number that you can...
Yeah, ring up and ring up shout
and,
stuff.
And just shout out.
Australian one.
Yeah, an Australian one.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Until next week, my name is Josh Canal.
I'm John Richards.
I continue to be Brett Cropley, just listening to the outro fade out and then come back in.
Just don't mention it. No one will notice.
No.
Seamless.
Thanks for listening. You are so goddamn smooth.
Thanks for listening to Box Cutters. Catch us again next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.
And hey, let's be careful out there. Box Cutters thanks 3RRR, whose studios we use to record this podcast pretty much each and every week. Find them on the web at rrr.org.au or 102.7 FM if you're in the Melbourne metro area. If you enjoyed this podcast, please go onto the iTunes Music Store or anywhere else you find us and leave a review. It will help other people find Box Cutters and then they can enjoy it too. Email us at hooray@boxcutters.net or via SMS on 0458 288 837. That's 0458 Cutter. So I think that went all right.
Yeah, these headphones make your ears very hot.
Ah.
Your ears, not mine.
Right, yours are fine. Yeah. Yeah, mine are very hot. But, they're pretty sexy regardless. But I think having taken 4 weeks off and then coming back, I think
we should take another 4 weeks off and then come back for one show.
That's really going to mess Nelly up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because she's going to come in next week and then we're not going to be here and she'll just be sitting here alone with Pete Smith.
Hi, this is Pete Smith. You've been listening to, or have just missed, Box Cutters.